I thought he was asking about what podcast you're listening to, but he's asking about what's on my shirt. Sorry, that was the message for Jane, not for Nick. But Nick, this is a t-shirt that says Team Magic with a unicorn and a narwhal on it. And their horns are very rainbow colored. The t-shirt I'm wearing. I got it at Bonnaroo, at the Music and Arts Festival known as Bonnaroo in Manchester, Tennessee.
What's the significance of your shirt, dude? I don't get it. I'm missing the reference.
It's not really a reference. It's just like I'm, you know, wearing a fucking shirt with a pink unicorn and a lime green narwhal on it.
Got you.
I think it's cool.
It is cool, James. So
I always get compliments on it when I wear it out in public.
Everybody loves magic, James.
Yes, everyone loves magic. Team Magic. It's for horny people.
All right.
All right, yeah.
Team Magic, it's for horny people.
Oh, how have you been?
Well, James, first things first. First things first, James.
What's first?
James.
What? Yeah?
James.
It's Nick.
Welcome to Dork!
Welcome to Dork!
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork, episode 155. We are back, motherfuckers!
Yay. Shit.
Sorry for our delayed absence.
Yes, I tried to take steps to shorten it, but it didn't work out as well as I'd hoped. Sorry.
What you going to do?
When
scheduling difficulties.
There were scheduling difficulties, and I tried to... a thing to help like make a little mini episode in the meantime, but we'll try and do that in the future. So just to let you
know. Yes, we're gonna give James the power.
I have.
Or at least try. Let James do like a little James only episode.
Well, maybe James and special guests.
James and special guests.
Some of the
we'll see how that goes.
New Orleans dorky scene.
So yes. But yes, sorry we've been gone so long. James and I both had work conflicts and shit going on. So
the school year just started. So like I've been in like teacher training for the last few weeks.
Why? You already know how to teach.
Yeah, but I don't know how to teach middle schoolers.
Did you change your job?
Oh yeah, I didn't tell you that. I'm teaching 7th and 8th grade science now.
You're going backwards.
I'm going backwards. Soon I will be in the womb.
Did you teach the kids incorrectly in high school? Is that where they bumped you back?
No, they
didn't. Like, would you count that as a demotion?
I mean,
if you were teaching high school, and now you're teaching middle school.
Well, so yeah, I guess it's like if it were the same number of kids, like the total number of years that they've been in existence, you know, is like, you know, 1,000 instead of 1,500 like it was last year. So it's like teaching one 1,000-year-old man instead of one 1,500-year-old man. So actually,
you just science and they backed you up or what?
No, they decided they didn't need a physics teacher at all. So it's not like they like fired me and like, we need a new physics teacher. They were like, you know what? Physics sucks. So we're just going to teach them biology and PE. Or, you know,
Are you serious right now?
I'm kind of serious. Like the position, like they didn't want a full-time physics teacher anymore. I guess either because their overall organization was changing some of their core requirements, and so they were like, okay, well, you're not going to teach physics next year, so we're going to see if we can find you a different job somewhere in New Orleans. And so I was like, okay, well, whatever. I'm going to try. You can try, and I'm also going to apply for, you know, some other jobs for teaching science because that's what I want to do, and some. People in a school on Esplanade were like, hey, you're a science teacher. You want to teach like science to 7th and 8th graders? And I was like, okay. So now I'm teaching science to 7th and 8th graders.
All right, James.
Yes.
Let's hope you don't teach them a bunch of false information and they learn so bad that they cancel your science program like they did in your last school.
I didn't teach them anything false. I just didn't, you know. I don't know if I taught them exactly what they wanted me to teach them. Because,
they
know.
Erase physics from their curriculum because of you.
You know, I guess that's like the professional equivalent of like dating a woman and then like she breaks up with you and starts dating women, you know?
No, it's the professional equivalent of a woman dating you and then stop dating you and make you date an eighth grader.
I'm making you date an eighth grader? Is that what you said?
Yes. That's what happened to you.
Yes, okay. That's kind of disgusting, but, you know, I can see what the parallel is.
Well, teach better then. Damn it.
I will.
What is the 7th and 8th grade science curriculum? What is that, physical science and biology?
It's life science, more or less, for 7th grade, and then earth science for 8th grade.
Ah, yes.
First thing we're talking about is the geology of Mars for 8th grade, so I'm really excited about that.
That's pretty cool. And you can do it
with a Google map
of Mars right now, huh?
Oh, yeah. True that. But we have a really good curriculum that's, like, you know, already, like, set out, so I don't even have to, like, come up with my own lesson plans. Like, it's already, like, pretty much set up for the entire year. As opposed to last year, where I was, like, making the shit up as I went along. I was like, that sounds like physics, force motion, momentum, kinetic energy, KE equals 1/2 MB squared. You'll work on that for a while. But, yeah, now it's, like, all, like, well, you know, like, here is the lesson 1.1 in geology of Mars. We are going to pretend as if we are surveying Mars, and this is the things we find and what it means when we find these kind of landforms. So I'm actually pretty excited about it. I'm dancing, but you can't see me.
All right. So, James, we've missed a lot.
We have. We have missed a fair amount.
If we could just talk about Comic-Con trailers for the whole
album. Comic-Con. Comic-Con. Yeah.
No, there were some really cool ones, but
there were some cool ones.
Without question.
Are you ready?
The coolest trailer.
Are you a player?
From the whole thing. Yes. Ready fucking player one.
Ready fucking player one. Yeah.
Yeah. With
appearances by the Iron Giant, Freddy Krueger, the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Kaneda's motorcycle.
Akira! Yes.
The A-Team van. Christine. Stephen King's Christine.
Yes. Oh my god. I am...
Garbage Pail Kids.
I am very fucking ready for this.
Yeah. Yeah, James is very ready, player one.
Being the youngest sibling, I was usually player two, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I was so hyped by it, I listened to the book again.
Did you?
I've got it down to 2 days.
Yeah. Are you listening at one time speed?
No, I'm up to 1.25.
Yeah, I usually listen to 1.25 unless it's something I really want to savor and enjoy.
Well, most nonfiction books, I listen to at 1.5.
Yeah, I've done that too.
And if it's really dry, I'll go for 2. But, yeah, usually, I mean, with the dulcet tones of Will Wheaton, normally I just play it at regular speed, but I was like, let's just zip through it. Still a good listen. Still excited. There were people bitching about it, though.
Which part? Like, the trailer?
Yeah, bitching, like, people, I guess, that haven't read the book, like, were bitching. And you know what? I say that, and it was probably like 5 guys that were just like, no. The one I saw specifically, the guy was like, oh, I'm sick of this Bazinga ass shit. It's like, okay.
So it's like they're comparing it to the references in an episode of Big Bang Theory?
Big Bang Theory. Yeah, they're like, oh, they're trying to make nerdy cool. Nerdy is cool, bitch. Nerdy's always been cool. Suck it up.
Well, I don't know if nerdy's always been cool. But
no, it's always been cool.
Well, for the last 3 decades, it's definitely been lucrative.
everybody's embracing it, and that's fine. I'm not going to go, it's mine only. It's like, I don't know. Like, I look at it like say you're, you know, when you're 10 years old, and one of your friends finds his dad's Playboys, which it's not a thing anymore. Now you just go on the internet. But I'm sure it still happens where there's that one kid who gets the phone first.
Yeah.
In, like, you know, 3rd grade. He gets the phone. He's like, look, boobs. And he shares the wonder with all the other kids. You know, and they're like, whoa, thank you for inviting us into this wonderful new world.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really psyched about Ready Player One because I want other people to see it. And just like the whole point is to buckle up and just get, you know, here's pop culture up your ass. Enjoy it. The whole point is to go, oh, look, there's the blank from the blank. Like the car chase with the fucking DeLorean, like where it's hovering and then they drop down onto the tires. Like, that's the kind of shit I want to see. I want to see, like, yeah, you know, who would win in a race? The DeLorean from Back to the Future or Kaneda's motorcycle? Well, we're going to find out because blammo.
Well, so, I think it's going to be Kaneda's motorcycle because once they hit 88 miles an hour, the DeLorean's just going to, like, disappear into another time, you know.
Not if the time suckers are off.
Not if the flux capacitor isn't engaged, Marty.
Yeah, you got to flip that shit on. Okay, so I have two theories as to who's on Kaneda's bike. One is stronger than the other. What do you think?
Do you remember? I don't think Kaneda's bike was in the actual thing, right? It wasn't in the book. I don't remember.
No, it wasn't in the book at all.
Right. So
there's, but I think they updated some of the references because
they don't have rights to everything that was mentioned in the book.
Yeah. Plus, some of it is a little dated. Like, you know, you want the people to come see this to be between, you know, 10 and 40, right?
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to get these really obscure Japanese TV shows and old school video games. Like,
oh yeah.
Cabinet games is something that a whole generation has not played.
This is true. The arcades of yesteryear don't exist in the way that they did in the 80s.
Like, if you're in college right now, you may have never played a cabinet game in your life. Why would you? Why would you have spent the last 20 years playing cabinet games? You were in the heyday of consoles. So, yeah,
because I could see,
updating it.
Yeah, because it used to be that you couldn't. The experience at home, like the consoles they had at home, were like vastly inferior to, you know, what was happening in the arcade. Mm-hmm. And even like, you know, even before then, back in the 80s, they're like, I mean, there wasn't even a comparison. So like having that experience of like cabinet game next to cabinet game next to cabinet game in the arcade and like, you know, fighting people that you could see with your face, like in person, mm-hmm. and like, you know, like playing against them, like in person, like, it's totally different from being sitting next to your brother on the couch and, like, you know, playing like either cooperatively or competitively on a screen. And then, like, now, like, fighting against people that you don't even see, that you're fighting over the internet. Mm-hmm. Like, being able to be in the arcade and, like, basically in an arena of digital sport that you could actually, like, you know, look your opponent in the eye and spit in his face if you wanted to. Like, that's a totally...
Call him a thing bitch.
Yeah, and that doesn't... Well, then that could actually lead to fist fights as opposed to just flame wars on the internet. Or, like, yeah, you know...
Now, you hear just, like, little 10-year-old kids calling you a bitch. Mm. Faggot. I get faggot a lot. From, like, 10-year-olds.
Exactly.
Like, you hear it, I'm like, dude, first off, in your whole generation, like, isn't that a no-no word? Like, I thought y'all were more culturally evolved.
I don't know. I don't know how evolved any 10-year-old is.
That's fair. But, like, I can see having to update it a little bit so that, you know, maybe it's not early 80s, maybe it's early 90s forward.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe it was, like, 88, 89, so that's, like, late 80s. That's not even in the strong heyday of... I guess some of that was in the strong heyday of the most of the references in Ready Player One. But because that was, like, really mid-80s and early 80s.
Yeah, so it's going to be either, my guess is going to be Daito is the guy.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the Japanese guys.
Yeah, Daito or Shota, one of them. The other guess was that it might be, what's his fucking name?
The
head of IOI.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like chasing him down. But I think it makes way more sense that it's the Japanese kids.
I think it's more, yeah. I think it'd be one of the Japanese kids.
But like Iron Giant was mentioned in the book.
Oh, yeah. It's been a while. I mean, I guess it's been almost a year since I read it, although I did read it twice. Or three times.
Yeah. Iron Giant was mentioned in the book, but like in passing, it's like a long list of giant robots.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay, I'm good.
But yeah, who knows? Psyched! It looks like they're doing, you know, they're doing different things, but I'm okay with it.
Oh, yeah.
Not everything is going to translate directly out of the book, but it looks like they're hitting the high notes.
Definitely, and they get the as long as it gets like the feel of what you're looking for, because basically the idea of a conglomeration of different properties that, you know, shouldn't interact. It's like the idea. It's like the pinnacle of the concept that they're doing when they do something like Freddy versus Jason, which you know, they actually did, obviously, but except on a massive scale.
So it's Jason like, versus Freddy versus Harry and the Hendersons versus Yoda with a lightsaber versus Khan. Like, whatever, just throw all that shit together.
Yeah.
Yes. Want to see it. To see it.
You know what I think would be awesome is if, you know, Spielberg, like, has some kind of, like, rights to some Star Wars stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, we don't find out about that. It's, like, a close to guarded secret until you actually see the movie.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, he's, like, driving, somebody's driving Slave One across the cosmos, and, you know, near, like, the end of the denouement of the story or something.
Yes. Very cool. Yeah, I'm psyched. I would like to very much see this movie.
When's it coming out?
May, I think.
Not too far in the future.
No.
Of course, even before that, we'll get to Black Panther. That'll be awesome.
Black Panther, yes. It looks very exciting.
I'm very excited about that. I'm very excited about a black superhero movie that does not star Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, man, Steel was good. You know you like Steel. It's a magical film.
I know nothing of the sort.
You know you watched it. You know. It's your secret shame. It's your secret shame, James.
I have a lot of secret shames, and Steel is not one of them.
No?
No.
Well,
I know an embarrassingly high number of Jim and the Holograms songs from the cartoon from the 80s.
Dude, you should have just said you liked Steel. Like, you should have just been cool with that. You know, you don't have to open up to everything, James.
Yeah. I mean, if three songs is an embarrassingly high number, you know.
One is too much. I don't even know the whole theme song.
Jim is outrageous. Ooh, Jim. Jim is excitement, glamour and glitter, fashion and fame. Ooh, she's truly outrageous. Truly, 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 truly outrageous. Something like that.
Hey, man. That's not cool. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, that happened. Speaking of...
we're talking about
dips.
Retro dips, yes. Retro dips.
Stranger Things 2,
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, man.
I actually haven't seen that trailer.
No?
No. I've seen the poster, but I've not seen the trailer. I knew it was out, and I was like, I need to catch that, and then the school year fell on me.
Did you? You saw the first season, huh?
I saw the entire first season, okay. Yes. I just have not seen the trailer for season 2.
Yeah, it looks good. They're going bigger and badder, and it opens with them playing. Oh, damn it! What is that game?
Battleship.
No, the sorry. Video game. Video game. Dungeon. Dungeon. Dragon's Lair.
Oh, the Laserdisc one.
Yes, the cartoon one.
Yes. Yeah,
it opens up with them playing that. Which, like, Carol and I watched the trailer, and then I found on YouTube somebody did a whole playthrough of the Dragon's Lair game.
Oh, yeah, so, I've seen that.
It was the first time I actually got to see it all the way through.
Actually, when I was in college, there was a kid that actually had a Laserdisc player and the Dragon's Lair disc that he just, if you play it on a normal Laserdisc player, it, like, shows you, like, yeah, it just shows you the entire thing. Like, it's in a weird order. But, like, the ending is pretty close to the end, and, like, the beginnings are pretty close to the beginning. But, like, you know, you get to see, like, a lot of the alternate deaths, so to speak, as you go along.
Yeah, so watch that. That all that retro shit got us watching Goldbergs.
I have not seen that.
The TV show. It's all on the Hulu. The first four seasons are on Hulu. It's, like, 97 episodes. So we just started watching it. It's a really good show. It's all, you know, like, here's the...
It's in the 80s, yeah.
You know, April 1980-something. Like, they always say something, so it's... Because it's vague. Like, if they were really trying to do the years right, it would be fucked up.
Yeah, I know, like that's
like one of them.
Sorry, yeah. It reminds me of like that 70s show when they were like, you know, it's a 70s show, and then they have Star Wars, the opening of Star Wars, which dates it immediately, and that was like in the first or second season. And so, like, if you have 1970, something happens in 1977 in your second season, and you're called the 70s show, you're like, okay, well, you're only going to have two more seasons of this, otherwise you're going to be in the 80s. But, you know, they kept going for, like, five more years or six more years, and we're like, okay, well, we're going to end the show on December 31st, 1979, and it doesn't make any sense at all. But anyway, yes, Goldberg's 1980-something.
Yeah, dude, it's... It's worth a watch. But in one of the episodes, and the new game is Dragon's Lair, because like, how do they do it? It's a cartoon, but you're playing it.
Did you ever play that in the arcade? Are you old enough for that?
Dude, I wasted a shitload of money on that.
Yes, I wasted. And I wasted a bit of money on that.
I never got. Like, we got to a point where we were watching, and I was like, I've never seen this part of it ever. But it doesn't play in the same order every time. So there were parts of it that played toward the end of the video that I had seen, but only because I'd popped up out of... Like, you know the part where he's on the horse, like the little magic horse? You know, he's like dodging pillars and shit? There were times where I'd be playing it, and that would be like the second or third cutscene. But sometimes it would come up way toward the end. So, like, the game... I don't know how it worked.
The game was truly random access then.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess. I don't know. Shit.
Because a lot of the scenes replayed that this guy was doing his playthrough. Like, oh, he's going down the rapids in the barrel again. Going down the rapids in the barrel. Like, you know, it would keep replaying that scene depending on which way he went.
Interesting.
Whatever. It was still pretty nostalgic.
Yeah. It's still pretty cool. It's pretty damn cool.
I remember they had it at Celebration Station, but they had a big screen version of it.
Yeah.
Like it was on a projector screen. So everyone could watch you fail miserably.
Oh, man. I really miss going to arcades. I miss like having, you know, this like moment where you're... I mean, it's cool when you're at your own house and stuff, but like the way that the background noises, the arcade, like, blended into, like, everything else in the world. Like, you could, I mean, it was just, like, totally random, like, blips and bloops and stuff all around you. But then, like, you, like, either you get in front of a cabinet and you put your quarter in or your token, and for, like, however long it took you, like, that was the only thing that existed for you. Like, that was the sounds you heard, that was the character you were, and you were, like, totally focused on that. And your mom wasn't calling from the other room, and your, you know, maybe your brother or sister was there with you to, like, you know, cheer you on or, like, you know, make fun of you. But I don't know. There was just a certain, it's not even a piece, just a certain engagement, a certain, like, just being in that particular zone that was so fulfilling.
Zen.
It was a zen, yes. I used to play Double Dragon and Spy Hunter specifically. They got like those like zone in feelings, and Super Street Fighter 2. Even though I was, you know, I enjoyed playing Street Fighter 2, but like playing Super Street Fighter 2, like trying to play all the way through with Sagat on one quarter, like that was a half hour of my life each time. That was just like, ooh.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
yeah, I used to cheese it with Ryu. Another problem with Miss Pac-Man, like there's my office is right across from a burger joint that has an original Miss Pac-Man machine in the lobby.
Yeah.
And so I'll go over, you know, before it gets busy and pop a quarter in, because he doesn't have the sound muted or anything, and that fucker is loud. So, like, if there's anybody in there eating, they get annoyed fast. It's just, walk, 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 walk. Like, I mean, it's really loud, especially at lunchtime.
Yeah.
With all the other stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, it's fine if you're competing with a whole room full of cabinets.
That's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing. You like you drown. You, all those other sounds like meld together, and like you're the only thing you really hear is like the one that you're playing.
Oh man, yeah, Midway's got an app. It's like a buck, but it's a bunch of old school arcade games, and it's like it looks like you're in an arcade and you actually have to go from cabinet to cabinet to find what the game you want to play. It's not bad.
That's cool.
It's not the same, but
nothing's ever the same as the real thing. That's like masturbation, you know? It's good.
Ain't it's not bad. The same.
Not bad.
No. It ain't right. It's hard to grab two titties when you got your dick in your hand.
This is true. I mean, I have pretty large hands, but, you know, it's not very comfortable for her.
Still kills the illusion.
Yes.
What else? Oh, you saw the one for It?
No, but I'm not interested in that.
No?
No, I was never a fan. Like, I like reading some Stephen King, but I was never a fan of the original It, and I don't plan on seeing the new one.
Dude.
I know. Maybe you feel like I've thrust a dagger through your heart, but I'm not going to change for you.
Well, like,
unless you want to blow me.
Well, I wasn't that big of a fan of the original miniseries. Like, I read the book, and I saw the miniseries, and I was like, it's all right. Like, Tim Curry was really good in it, but it didn't, like, fill me with... Like, he didn't freak me out as much as the book did. But there are parts of the miniseries I was like, that's kind of freaky. But watching the trailer for the new one, they put some stuff in the book in it that's really fucked up. I'm like, God. Like, they... So, did you see...
Did I just say it?
What?
No, I was going to say, on your picture on your hangout thing, it looks like you and your dog. It almost looks like you're trying to, like, it's not your dog. That's not your dog. What dog is that?
It's a friend of mine's Mastiff.
Yeah, it looks like you're trying to fuck him.
I was actually about to ride it.
It's pretty much what I just said.
Yeah, his name's Bear. And I could lay on his back and he could walk around with me on him. He's huge.
He's a massive Mastiff.
Mm-hmm. It's a bull Mastiff. And he's dead.
Oh.
He died. He was like 5.
Oh. Is that...
Yeah.
How long do Mastiffs usually live?
Yeah, like 7, 8. He's just too big. But in his case, it was bloat got him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because their stomach loops over their intestines and they like hemorrhage and shit. Like, it's awful, but yeah.
Okay, anyway, you were going to say...
Did you see the new trailer for Ragnarok?
Yes. I've seen two, so I guess
that's Thor and Hulk.
The one where Hulk speaks, or is the...
Yes.
I like how Hulk can not refer to himself with a first-person pronoun, but he can use words like smoldering.
Yeah. It works.
Hulk like fire. Thor like...
Like water.
Like water. Well, I'm like fire, too.
Hulk, raging fire. Thor, smoldering fire. Yes. Looking forward to it. I was really iffy when I saw that Taika Waititi was directing it. I was like, I don't know. Like, I've seen his stuff. I don't know if that really translates. Nope, he's got it. He's going to do fine.
Yes. I think, I mean, I enjoyed Thor the Dark World, but I'm pretty sure I'll enjoy this one more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a lot more fun. It really feels like, hey, it's a buddy comedy with giant...
Super powerful characters.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, baby.
Yeah. Did you have any favorites?
I mean, I really like the Thor Ragnarok one. And then, I mean, I don't think Black Panther was a Comic-Con one. I think that came out right before.
I think you're right.
Definitely. I know. I'm just very excited about Thor. I'm just, and Ready Player One. Like, I don't know if I'm sure there was other ones that came out, because I kept getting updates from IMDb, but right now my brain is blanking because I've been getting about 4 hours of sleep a night and spending time with children.
Hmm.
Although I have gone out to see a couple of movies since the last time we did a one of these things, whatever it's called, a podcast.
Podcast.
Podcast. Antipodean cast. from the South Pole.
I saw that Ernest Cline was writing Ready Player 2. Like, that's his next book, is Ready Player 2. And I was like, what the fuck would it be about? Like, where do you go after the first one?
I don't know. I don't think that's a book that needs a sequel.
Right?
Right.
Like, I mean, the movie, like, with the success of his book, you know, and then buying the rights before the book even came out, like, you knew there was going to be a sequel, but just, I mean, where does it go? Like, the book wraps it up.
Yeah, it's not like there's hanging, whatchamacallit, loose ends?
Participle.
Yeah.
James, pitch me Ready Player 2 and go.
All right, so the Oasis has been, okay, spoiler alert, guys, for those of you who have not read Ready Player 1, you should probably just skip this part of the podcast. So, the Oasis has been won by, man, my brain is so not working right now.
Parsifal.
Main character.
Wade Watts.
Parsifal, yes. Right, so he maybe wants to create something within the Oasis, in the Oasis, that is like another Easter egg. It's kind of like a bomb that's going to destroy it all. But no, we already have that because there's like a big... Maybe somebody pushes the button without his knowledge or permission, and so he has to rebuild the Oasis. And there's like different factions that are trying to control that recreation. Somehow they get into... Somehow they get into the ability to do that. And that... It's not the corporate people. Maybe the corporate people are all behind it, or maybe they find a way to destroy the Oasis and they're trying to build their own version of it. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, it would have to be...
Sorry if you can hear sirens.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would... I don't know if I would... Like, the easiest way to do it would be, okay, there's another Easter egg. Holiday left another egg, so we got to do everything we did in the first one again.
But different. Oh, that's like, you know, like Cannonball Run 2 or like Bioshock 2, if you're into video games like that.
Yeah.
It's like basically more of the same. Or Hangover 2. That's exactly what that is. Because it's like pretty much the same plot, except, you know, you exchange like locales or you change, you know, certain things, but they cause the same kind of issues and you get to the same kind of hijinks. So... there's all this stuff that doesn't take place in the real world. So,
yeah,
this would be like the Matrix sequels, where, like, you know, in the first movie, like, everything took place in the Matrix, and then, like, in the following ones, everything took place in the real world. So you would, like, follow up by, like, trying to, like, do things that would affect the real world, and, like, he's trying to, like, use the Oasis in some kind of way in order to create some kind of nice place on Earth, and the corporate people are all, like, trying to keep him from doing that. Somebody's got a vendetta against them, and they're out of jail, or maybe like the guy who went to jail, like his wife comes back and like wants revenge, or wants like, well, not that guy would have a wife that would love him that much, but maybe just wants to.
Like a workaholic.
Yeah. So I think that would be, like, I don't know, like, this is not a story that I would really, like, think would deserve it. So, like, pitching an idea for it would be like, okay, well, I'm just going to, like, try and play devil's advocate, essentially. Like, there's not anything that's, like, hanging. Like, you know, old boy went to jail. Percival got the girl. So maybe, like, unless, like, she's become sick and he has to find a cure that's, like, actually in the Oasis or something like that, which, like, makes her kind of a damsel in distress kind of thing, which is not the kind of story that I would be pitching in the first place. How would you feel about it? I mean, what elements do you think would be played up or played down?
I don't know, dude. Like, at the end of Ready Player One, he's got, like, total power. He can do whatever he wants.
Right. And the only way to successfully make an interesting story about that is to take that away
reboot.
Have some... Yeah, there's also other aspects of his life. I mean, he's rich on the real world. He has total power in the Oasis, so... What else is there?
I mean, I guess like you said, he could have a real world Easter egg.
Is that what I said? Because that's not a bad idea.
No, you didn't say that specifically, but like you said, it'd take place in the real world.
Yeah, something in the real world where he's trying to like affect things, you know, more in the real world than the Oasis.
Yeah. But then again, that wouldn't make any sense because Holiday was completely involved in, like, he just coded all the time. He lived in video games and Rush, pretty much.
Yeah, but, like, see how that wound up with him? Wound up for him? Yeah. Like, he didn't get the girl that he wanted. He just sat there and created a fake world.
Yes.
Holiday world. Oh, yeah, fine. So, I don't know. Ready Player 2, I mean, I'll read it. There'll be more references that I get because I'm like in the fucking sweet spot of that demographic that it's aimed for. I'm a fucking nerd that was like big on 80s pop culture.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I mean, we talked about Armada a little bit. So
yeah, Armada wasn't very good.
No, it was.
It wasn't terrible, but yeah.
It was, I mean, it was basically Ender's Game through an 80s style video game, you know, or Last Starfighter. It was the same kind of thing. I mean, not that Last Starfighter was a bad story; it's just it's been done.
Yeah, Last Starfighter.
Yeah, and even referenced Last Starfighter in Armada, and of course in Ready Player One. That was Percival's passcode. You have been recruited by, greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by Star League to defend the frontier against Xur and the Codan Armada. I think, and I will just put this as an aside. Reading Ready Player One as an audiobook is a fantastic way to enjoy it. I mean, not only because Will Wheaton does a really good job. He does a fantastic job. I just didn't want to use the word fantastic twice. But when you know how like you have one of those conversations with somebody and you know you're expressing the same thought and you like make the same quote and you quote things together and it's fun that way? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's like, you know, when he started saying greetings, Starfighter, greetings. Yeah, when he said that, you know, like saying it along with him as you're like reading it. Or as you're listening to it, is a really fun way to do that. I don't know, like, when you read something and you know, like, what lines are coming next, you can still kind of see them with your eyes, so it's like your brain doesn't have the advantage of experiencing it sequentially like you do when you're listening to it, and that's one of the reasons I really love audiobooks, especially ones like this, where you, like, when a quote is going to come up and you get to quote along with the author. I think there's a personal advantage to audiobooks. I just wanted to say that. No further questions, Your Honor. Agree or disagree?
Completely.
Completely disagree?
I completely agree. Like, Will Wheaton's very good at reading books.
He is. I've listened to several of his.
Yeah, there have been a couple I've downloaded just because he was the guy that read it. And so,
yeah. Well, so he did a John Scalzi book that I liked. I think it was like Locked In. That was a good one.
What's that about?
It's about people that put their that have some kind of like disease or condition where they can't use their physical bodies, and so they like kind of like transfer their minds. I don't think they actually transfer their brains, but like they control these robots. That they use to like go out into the world and do physical things.
Huh. That's a neat idea.
It is kind of a neat idea. So he did Armada. He had He did the thing. He did the narration for Armada. He did Lock In is actually what it was called. Ready Player One. Red Shirts by John Scalzi. Lock In was by John Scalzi. I don't know if I said that. He also did What If, which was by Randall Monroe.
That's one I have downloaded.
Yeah, I got it like on one of those things where it was like the book of the day, and it was like $3. Because I actually have, like, somebody bought me the hardback. It's by Randall Monroe, if you guys don't know, is the mind behind XKCD, which is a webcomic, which is mainly based off of jokes on science, but science and, like, math, but it's very entertaining, even if you're not, like, completely familiar with a lot of the concepts they talk about. I haven't downloaded The Collapsing Empire yet, but that's another Will Wheaton one.
Yeah, I downloaded that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was next on my list after I finished the last Babaverse one.
I was like, we're on audiobooks now, so we should talk about Babaverse.
Yeah, after I finished the last Babaverse for We Are Many, I was like, I want to keep going in the sci-fi kick. What's another good one? And they're like, oh, you should try this one. This one's very popular. I was like, all right.
Yeah, Audible is very good about recommendations.
Yeah, they haven't steered me wrong yet. But I'm on a nonfiction kick right now. Reading a couple from Kevin Mitnick. I say reading, but they're being read to me.
I think it counts. I mean, if you say, like, hey, have you read this book, and you, like, listen to the audiobook, I mean, you still know all the words that were in that book, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I still count it. I know how to read, you know. I'm just... Then somebody else to do the lifting. It's like management, but in entertainment.
It's delegation.
Indeed. You read it to me. Like, I will sit here on my throne and eat grapes.
Right. I mean, if you're like the foreman and you're like, you know, building a house and you have somebody else do the framing and the laying the foundation and like putting the bricks and all that kind of shit up, you would still say, I built this house, right?
Indeed.
Exactly.
So, yeah. There was one. Oh, what was the one I listened to before that? It was on body hacking, like
body hacking,
like people that like putting shit in their bodies.
Yeah, like people who put magnets like under the skin of their fingers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah, that kind of shit. I'm just gonna remember the name of the book. Brah, brah, brah. Damn it. But basically this guy, he's rather smug about it. Like he didn't write the book because he's like, I think I agree with this, or to be a machine. That's what it was.
To be a machine.
Yeah. He like explored guys that were into body hacking and the like people that want to be frozen, or people that are trying to upload their minds to computers and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was interesting. And then I listened to Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so I wanted to listen to American Gods again because I haven't watched the show yet. So I listened to that again.
I haven't watched it either.
Oh, you have watched it? How was it?
I've only seen like 5 episodes, but they're really good.
Yeah. That's what I figured. Like the cast looks spot on.
Yeah, but don't tell Jane because she was supposed to watch it with her.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, dude. I want to watch that. The audiobook, the one I listened to was the author's preferred version of it, which I had not listened to.
Was that the full cast one?
Yes.
Yeah. That one's a good
like
one.
I read the original release.
The narrated by, you listened to the one by George Goodall? Like the first one? Like you listened to it, right?
No, the first time around, I read the book.
Okay, cool.
When it came out, listening to it, it was the full cast version with the guy playing Thor, who sounds like, or the guy playing Odin, who sounds like Ian McShane. Like it's not Ian McShane, but it's fucking sounded like him.
Yeah, they do like a good grizzly guy.
Yeah, like he sounded exactly like him, enough so that I was like, I mean, I had to keep checking. I was like, is that Ian fucking McShane?
Yeah, well, I mean. American Gods is one where the both versions of the audiobook, which are two totally different narrators, are both very, excellent. George Guidall did the first one, and he is like one of my favorite narrators. He does all the Longmire books. He's mm-hmm. done like Les Miserables. He did one of the versions of Stephen Pressfield's Gates of Fire, which is about the Battle of Thermopylae. He's an excellent narrator.
I actually read that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I read it too when it first came out, but then I also listened to it. And then I listened to it again because there's one version that's by one of them is unabridged and one of them is abridged. And I think the abridged version was by Derek Jacobi, who I also like, mainly as an actor. He's in like the BBC version of Hamlet, and he was in Gladiator, and he was the I can't remember the name of the show, but he's like the he plays the gay lover of like, was it Ian McKellen? It's like a British show.
Oh yes, I know what you're talking about. Vicious.
Yeah. And like he's in that too, but like he's an excellent actor. Like I enjoyed him like when I was like yeah, in like good. 1990 before I like knew who people were, and like he was like the kind of like a narrator guy in the Kenneth Branagh Henry V that came out in 1989.
He was in Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, wasn't he? He played Polonius.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but yeah, he's been in some cool stuff. but yeah,
that motherfucker has worked from Shakespeare.
I know.
Tell you what,
but like when you listen to Stephen Pressfield's Gates of Fire, and you listen to this like you know distinguished British guy talk about tree fucking, I mean, there's very few things that are better than almost you know the only exception is like listen to anything that Patrick Stewart says because like he like says a whole bunch of random shit and you know like American Dad or like. I think he plays like somebody in the Emoji Movie, which is totally beneath him. He plays Pooh. Yes, he plays the Pooh, yeah, not the Winnie the Pooh. Emoji. Yes, he's the Pooh emoji. Which I'm sure that
I think that movie.
I'm sure I think it's up to
3% now.
Yeah, I'm sure that movie is no pun intended, complete shit. But like the concept of like someone is accomplished as a Shakespeare actor and like well beloved because of his work in theater and like Star Trek: The Next Generation and X Men. Playing this distinguished person, and like he's Pooh, he is a piece of Pooh, and wonderful, and it makes me like have faith in what the world can be.
Well, I think he got to the point where he's like, I've done enough legitimate shit. You know, I'm gonna get a paycheck, and you can't judge me for it. I can fucking act, motherfucker.
I know, and you can't take back the fact that he's been knighted by the Queen.
Yeah, Sir Patrick Stewart wants to voice some Pooh.
Yes,
can't judge that. Judge all you want.
Can't judge that.
I'm worth millions and I'm talented as a motherfucker.
You're goddamn right.
Damn it.
Yeah. Oh. We never talked about Spider-Man. Did you get the chance to see that?
I have not. I have been busy.
Jesus fuck, man. Go to the movies.
It's not that easy.
I know it's not that easy,
but
it's important though. You need to like make sure you're part of the cultural zeitgeist, especially if you're going to be on a goddamn podcast.
Yeah, I know that, but I've been working like 14-hour days.
I understand. I've been working 12 and a half hour days.
Ah, slacker. Molding young minds. You better get back on those 14s. Maybe they'll let you teach physics again. Damn it.
No, they've erased.
So you had your first day of class, huh?
I've had my second day of class. My first day of class was yesterday.
Oh,
but
how are they?
I also was so ambitious that I hosted trivia on Monday night, like right before my first day of class, because I'm fucking stupid and I don't like sleep apparently. But I would say that some of my seventh graders are like probably the best kids on the face of the planet. They are a fantastic bunch that are willing to learn. And apparently I've made impressions on some of them that like people are surprised. It's like, oh, this kid wasn't talking to anybody last year. And you and he hit it off. I do also have eighth graders and they're okay. No, the eighth graders are cool. But like the seventh graders without exception, I love and adore. I love and adore all of them. It just doesn't take any effort to love and adore the seventh graders. I hope my bosses don't hear this. But no, I mean, like, the kids are great. I really like where I am. I like a lot of the things about my job. I like the curriculum support. I like the students. I like my fellow teachers. It's a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
I would also say, no, that's it. That's all I want to say because I don't want to get fired. Well, I mean, what I was about to say next didn't have anything to do with school, but like if like somebody heard the snippet and then like heard that like right next to it, then they'd be like, oh, well, this man should not be a teacher.
You're fired!
Thank you, that guy who runs the country now.
You're fired. Yeah. My work has been busy. Obviously.
Because every time you're like, can't make it because I'm working until 9 o'clock tonight. Ah, shit.
Yes.
And I'd be like, okay, good, because I'm fucking tired and been doing teacher training. But since you said it first, and you know, you get credit for not doing the podcast.
Yeah, I might be getting busier. Because, you know, like the industry I work in is very closely tied to the petrochemical industry, which is why I still live in Louisiana. You know,
indeed.
That's what we do is our bread and butter and crude oil. And Venezuela is in turmoil.
Holy shit, it is.
If it continues to descend into turmoil, I'm going to be getting way busier. Because because Venezuela is a major oil exporter.
They are.
And if they get all fucked up, well, somebody's going to pick up the slack. And
there's going to be consequences and repercussions.
Yeah, and repercussions to those consequences.
Consequences, schmonsequences, as long as I'm rich. Sorry, I had a Daffy Duck moment.
Yeah, I'm being busy as shit.
Busy.
Damn it, Venezuela, get your shit together. Or don't.
Pack your shit. Yeah. And get fuck on.
You can collapse Venezuela and slowly rebuild into a functional democracy. Take your time. Make your time. We got to get rid of our oil surplus. So, you know, work it out. Get yourself a functional, healthy constitution. Give Maduro the boot. And we'll keep an eye on you.
Huh.
Yeah. Damn it.
Oh, the whole planet is on the tipping point. It's, I don't know.
People have said that. Every single person who's ever lived has said that.
Yeah.
What is this world coming to? Pythagoras and his math.
That was before, you know, we had somebody that had the code, the nuclear codes. It was like,
he can't do shit. There's checks on it. As all the bullshit that he yells and shit like that, all the crap that's getting pushed through, there are still enough people wide awake going, no, don't let him.
I know.
Like if he calls and says to launch missiles, I'm not doing it. Are you doing it? I'm not fucking doing it. That dude's crazy. I'm not. I'm going to be working here in 4 years. He's not. So I'm not going to lose my job because he's a nutbag. Damn it.
Damn it.
Launch the missiles. I'm not fucking. We launched the missiles. They launched the missiles, and I'm at the silo. Why would I launch the missiles? Man, I dropped out of high school. I just got Final Fantasy VIII on my phone. I'm not starting global thermonuclear war.
Final Fantasy VIII? That's the one you go with?
Well, it's not me. It's the dude working the silo.
Wow. I guess if you dropped out of high school, then you would prefer Final Fantasy VIII.
I'm not judging the guy.
Oh, yeah, I am.
He just got it. I think he's working through all of them. He just discovered it a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. I'll allow it.
His stepbrother got him into it.
So be it, Jedi.
I mean, and he replayed Final Fantasy Tactics like 4 times because he liked it so much.
Did I play
Final Fantasy? The fact that he's just getting to that. I mean,
We'll circle you back. You need to go see Spider-Man Homecoming before it leaves theaters. I think it's worth going to see in a theater.
For reals?
For real reals. If only Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I heard that. Heard he's very good.
He is very good. There's some people saying he's the best villain in the Marvel universe.
Hmm.
The Marvel Cinematic.
I can believe it. I can believe it. That dude can fucking act.
He's like definitely like his character is definitely the most understandable. Like I understand his motivations, like seriously.
Hmm.
There's also There's also a scene where something happens, and afterwards he says something about anti-gravity. And that is my favorite scene involving Michael Keaton. I will let that sit. It's not a spoiler. But afterwards, he says something about anti-gravity. And so, okay. Like, when he says that, you will know why that's my favorite scene.
Okay. Well, I did see the first... it's like a 10-minute playthrough of the Spider-Man game for PS4.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks very, very, very good. And they've got the hard rule that Spider-Man can't kill anybody in the game.
Oh, good. That's cool.
Like, you can't kill anybody. Because Spider-Man don't kill nobody. Spider-Man don't kill nobody.
Spider-Man don't kill.
Spider-Man saved everybody. Spider-Man don't kill. Spider-Man won't pants too.
That would be an incredibly different character if he spoke like the Hulk or like Solomon Grundy.
Spider-Man swing.
Spider-Man, Peter Parker bring pictures of Spider-Man.
It's very interesting that you and Spider-Man talk very, very similarly, Peter.
Huh. Mary Jane confused.
I don't think I'm confused, Peter. You and Spider-Man just have very similar ways of talking. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not implying
Peter Parker not Spider-Man. Why do you bring this up? Peter Parker not Spider-Man.
What? The lady does protest. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man looked good in his suit, though. That's all Peter Parker said.
Now I'm picturing Spider-Man like or the Hulk in Spider-Man's outfit, except it's Spider-Man size, so it doesn't really fit.
Hulk Spider-Man.
Hulk is Spider-Man.
Hulk is Spider-Man. Hulk always been Spider-Man. Thwipped.
Except he like hits his web. And it like he's too heavy for its support, so it like pulls off part of the building.
Or yeah, it just yanks the building in half.
Oops.
Hulk Spider-Man does whatever the Hulk web. Spider-Man can.
Spins a web, real building down.
Oh. Me not good at Spider-Man. Spider-Man smash!
Look out! Spider-Man smash.
Spider-Man Hulk smash!
Spider-Man smash.
Hulk give Spider-Man suit back. Here you go, Hulk Peter Parker. Me keep your secret.
Thanks, Hulk. It's ruined. It's ruined, but thank you.
You're like 15 feet tall, and you just said that. I mean, we're in Times Square, for fuck's sake. Everyone with the camera took a picture of that. There's video. You called me Peter Parker. I'm saying it right now. This sucks, man. Hulk, sorry. Bruce Banner apologize.
He like senior stick down to Bruce Banner. This is all like. What is the name of that song?
What?
It's like The Lonely Man or something like that.
Sadly Hitchhiking Down the Road.
It has a name, man. It's got a name.
I don't fucking know it.
Incredible Hulk. Doc Bruce Banner suffers from gamma rays.
Did you write that?
Turns into the Lonely Man. That's what an Incredible Hulk song, Lonely Man. Is that what I said?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. I'm either too tired or too drunk.
Yes.
Yes.
And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James fucking Brown.
And you've been fucking dorked. Welcome back, folks. We promised we're trying to get back on schedule.
And I'm back.
We love you.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
I love you.
In our hands and mouths and chests.
Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. How did you know? How did you know? How did you know?
That's your cum noise? That's terrible.
Yeah. Yes. Usually I just shout out my own name.
James Brown! No relation.
James, come!
Come Brown!
Ooh. You got some serious problems if that's what's happening.
Yeah, that's it might get blood in it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what color it stained the mattress, right?
Ooh.
That's after all the specimens die.
Damn it, James.
Come on.
Don't. No. No. I'm not going to come on that. Mattress? I'm sorry. I come on and, like, back up. I've never gotten cum stains on my mattress.
Well, nor have I, but, you know, I've been
I'm
careful.
I'm a tidy ejaculator.
Hey, you know, until 19... No, wait. Okay, wait. Until 2005?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until 2005, I'd never had sex without a condom, so...
The fuck, man?
I was very conscientious.
That's not right. I think I've used a condom, like, twice.
Yeah.
Use condoms, kids!
Use condoms. Use them. I had sex with my first... Well, no, it was my second girlfriend. I had my sex with my first girlfriend only 3 times. Use a condom every time. I had sex with my second girlfriend 63 times. Use a condom every time.
Hmm. Yeah, FYI. I've never been big enough. But that was before, you know, the age of antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea.
Yeah, I've not had sex with anyone that has... Never mind. I'm just going to stop making statements before I can think of contradictions to them. So!
All right, James. Well, I'll see you next week. All right. Later, dude.
Hey, I'm STI free as of, like, October, so I'm fine. And I haven't had any... I'm just going to stop talking. All right, bye, guys.